Hey, this is Alex Terranova, and this is the Dream Mason Podcast. We've been taught to behave, to fit in, to follow the rules, but Dream Masons reject conventional thought. Dream Masons are rebels. They take a chisel to the marble that is typical traditional life. They carve out brilliance and broadcast it to the world. Join me for another chapter as we unmask convention, embrace the rebels within us, and more deeply come to explore the complex and agitated edges of our existence. Now, before we get started, please don't be a rebel yet and grab your phone and hit that little button that says subscribe. Thank you. Because your dreams don't build themselves. It is 2020, and this is the first episode of the Dream Mason Podcast that we are recording in 2020. This is so cool. And I'll tell you why. And there's so many reasons. There are going to be, you know, if you consistently listen to the podcast, there are some episodes that we recorded in 2019 that will be airing in 2020. I never air things like exactly as they, as we record them for all sorts of reasons. But this is officially the first podcast that we are recording here in 2020. I'm super excited about this year. I have had the amazing experience of having multiple years in a row that were the best year ever. 2018 was the best year I ever had. 2019 was then the best year I ever had. And I just see so much possibility for 2020. And that doesn't mean there weren't kind of crappy or bad things. December of 2018 was horrible. There was a moment in... Actually, November and December of 2019 were horrible. Now, it doesn't discount the whole year, but it sucked. And I'm really, this year is about like fully I give my years kind of a name, or a, like, if 2020 was like the movie, a chapter of the movie of my life, 2020 is I am the golden ticket. And I didn't like come up with that. I wasn't like watching Willy Wonka. I was actually sitting in meditation, and I invited in what I needed to hear from the universe. And I literally heard, you are the golden ticket, or I am the golden ticket. And I was like, whoa, I don't know what the hell that means, but I like it. And let's see where this goes. And in the days since New Year's, I've really thought about it and absorbed it. And for me, it's really all about, I am everything that I need to be, and I have access to everything within myself, and it's time to like release that. And it's kind of like all access Alex. So Alex in the most real form and the most authentic form, and then me having access to all the things and all the places I want to go. So this year is all about I am the golden ticket, and I have goals and intentions in different areas. And I did a podcast on that right at the end of the year where I think I did some Instagram videos too. So if you want to check those out, they are available. And I just have this gut feeling that in a lot of ways, this year is going to be massive for me. And I know a lot of people around me feel that way. And I think whatever you focus on and whatever you put your attention on, you're going to get. So that's what's going to happen. It's like, no doubt about it. Today, it's so cool to have my guest today joining us. I met her, man, I feel like 4 years ago. I might be misdating this. I'm now in the fifth year of my coaching practice as a full-time coach. Apparently that is a big deal. I don't say apparently as a business, it's a big deal according to numbers, but also as a coach, it's a big deal. I met her early on in my coaching career. We worked together. She trusted me early on. We had a great relationship. We've continued to be friends beyond when the coaching relationship ended. And this woman is a beast. She is probably one of the most authentic humans I've ever seen. And I feel like every day she becomes more and more authentic. And the reason I say that, it's like I'm not around her personally every day, but I watch her on social media. And when we do talk, the things she opens up and shares about are just so real. And they're things that people don't talk about. She doesn't censor her life. She doesn't like find reasons to not show stuff. She just literally puts it all out there. And I think that's really the reason why she's so successful, is she gives others the opportunity to be who they truly are. Like, they don't have to pretend either, because look at her and she's not pretending. And man, if we all stopped pretending, all that energy that we have from pretending could be rolled into the things that actually matter to us. So my guest today, in a what she does for her business, she's in network marketing, but really what's made her a success at network marketing is she supports women to fall in love with their life and then also at the same time create the lives that they dream about. She kind of, I want to say, like, focuses on health and fitness, but really, like, that's kind of the that might be like the overall shading of it all, but really it's about living fucking incredible lives. And she is living an incredible life. She has a fiance who she's been with for 10 years. So we can talk about that. And they just got engaged. She has three amazing little children that are also all over her social media and often provide a lot of comic relief. I don't know if there's anything else I need to say. Bree Holland, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm going to write that down. Beast.
Dude, you're a beast.
I'm like this 5'2", or maybe I'm 5'3". I might be growing after having babies, I think. But I like it. I think beast explains exactly beast mode for the last, I don't even know how long since I started having babies and growing a business. And yeah, I like it. I've never been introduced that way before, but I can roll with it.
Look, you're the first podcast you're the first podcast I'm doing for 2020.
Yeah.
What are you leaving behind in 2019? And what are you like fired up about or going to have breakthroughs around in 2020?
That's a good question. So 2019 was a huge year of leaping with faith into the unknown for me. So I've been in my business for 5 years. It'll be 6 in February. But last year, 2019, was the year that I retired my now fiance from his full-time job. So I think last year was a huge leap of trust and was terrifying. And I kind of went into it going, I'm going to create all of this momentum in my business. Like, I'm going to earn more money. We're going to do more because he's leaving his job. I quickly learned last year that it was just going to be a huge pile of shit, to put it really bluntly, because living with your spouse, having children, like all of the things change and shift from what you're used to and your normal routine. So while he was coming home to help and give me more time to grow my business, it turned into, okay, you're great. I'm glad you're here to help me. But now you're here like all the time. And I am an OCD type person. You might never guess it, but I'm very like organized, type A. Like I like the things where they should be, when they should be there. And so I had my children organized, if that makes sense. Like we had a to-do list. It was chaotic, but like I was rolling with it and growing this business for 4.5 years. So for him to come in and just kind of be here it was hard. I'm glad it's over. Like I feel like I'm leaving that behind of that newness of he's home. I don't have to keep saying, okay, we're trying to figure this out. I mean, it's always evolving, but we've kind of come to this place of understanding of how he works, how I work, navigating that. And I think the thing I'm most excited about going into 2020 is the last month of the year, we came together for this business instead of fighting each other on it of I'm doing this and you're taking care of kids. We are raising kids and growing a business. And we kind of just solidified that in the last 60 days of where his place is, where my place is, and how it's going to work. And so I'm really excited for 2020 to actually, what I thought were my goals last year, actually kind of start to take shape and like really scale our business more. I actually am traveling less. A lot of people have travel on their agenda and want to travel more. And I actually turned down some trips and I'm just excited to be really present with my kids, my family, while still scaling a business and show that that's possible and show that out of balance is okay. Like that it can be completely out of whack and be perfectly balanced for you.
I love that because people have this thing about like balance. I need to create balance.
Yeah.
Like life isn't balanced. I think the funniest example of this I ever heard was somebody was like, if you want balance, and I was in New York City at the time, they would be like, every time you go through the turnstile at the subway station, you have to switch hands when you swipe your card. Or like when you're talking on your cell phone, you have to put it up to different ears. Like, life is imbalanced, right? We're left-handed, we're right-handed. Like, the waves don't crash in always at the same pace they pull out. Our breath in and the breath out isn't always the same. Yeah. And this need to have it balanced is an illusion. We can create harmony, I think. And we can create things that support the life we want to live. But this idea of balance is, you know, some people, like, their lives are better if they work, like, a lot. And some people, their lives are not as good if they work a lot.
Yeah.
How do you
get... I'm learning that balance for me looks completely different than what my fiance thinks balance is and what my children think balance is. And I think there's a difference between... what we all think balance of it all has to, I think balance is different than equal. We all think balance is I'm balancing my family and giving equal time, when maybe, you know, it's different for each person. But for me, balance is making sure I'm allotting time in my week for my children, but also loving that somebody else takes care of them all day. Balance doesn't mean I give equal time to my children as my business. It means that when I have time with my kids, it's time with them that I love and know that is there, that I get to be fully present with them. So my day, my 24 hours isn't cut into equal slices of pie. So that's kind of what I've come to realize is balance for me doesn't mean it has to be equal.
What's the biggest challenge for you in the running a business, a very successful business with like hundreds of people that look up to you and depend on you and rely on you, having a partner who's now transitioning into being home, having three young children, you just turned 30. Like, this is not, it's not like you've been at this for 20 years and you got it all figured out. Like, you've been on this journey for 6 years, you say. So what is the most challenging aspect to actually having it all work?
I think that business is figure outable. I think raising children, you're always going to be fucked at the end of the day because you're going to screw something up. But I think that the hardest thing for me is the self-work, because in order to be successful at anything and really find happiness and the joy and that thriving in life, there's a lot of stuff that's probably, I mean, we talked about this before, that just that are underlying that you don't really see every day. It doesn't like come up in this vision or this dream. It's underlying stuff that we have to work on when it's really shitty and really hard. And when you bring it up, it's like, it becomes surface level and you're like, oh my God, it makes me want to vomit. Like, I don't want to work through that. That was years ago. That was 20 years ago. That was my childhood. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm over it. I can have the success and it's fine and I'm fine. And so what I've learned is that I can't get past my own cap. If I've been conditioned as a child, as a young mom I just keep capping myself out. Like, I think I found success and then I feel like this fraud because who am I to do this and who am I to reach any further goals? So then I hold myself back. So I think the hardest part is to really understand that while I'm good and maybe feeling great, I'm not necessarily being the best that I could be. And it's hard because it opens cans of worms and doors that I don't want open. So that's been hard. I think it's never easy to point the finger at yourself. It's never easy to say, I didn't hit that goal because of me, because of something that I'm not working on, or, you know, my relationship is suffering because of something I'm doing. It's easier to see the hard, you know, network marketing, you could see a flaw in the business, or, oh, it was a bad year. Or I can see a flaw in my partner where he's just not picking up and being as organized as I'd like. But at the end of the day, over the last 6 years, it's been me, right? Like, the roadblocks has been me and things that I need to work on. So
what are you doing besides, obviously you're conscious about this, right? Cause you're talking about it, like you're aware of it, but what do you do in your daily life to work on you, grow you, and deal with these things from your past that do show up?
So you mentioned I turned 30 and I was like, all right, enough is enough. I'm going to therapy. I haven't been to therapy since I was a child. And the thing that came up for me the most while I scheduled therapy turning 30, I was like, man, I should have my life together. Like, I've done all this growth over the last 10 years in my life, and 6 years in particular, starting this business around health and wellness. So, you know, eating well, like eating a salad and doing a workout just really wasn't the mind work that I needed. So recently starting therapy and digging into just childhood trauma and bad relationships and just all the shit that I kind of just buried a little bit. I'm fine. I'm happy, but I think it's holding me back a lot. And so, therapy for sure. I think being intentional in my mornings about being, showing some gratitude to where I'm at. And it helps remind me, not like I need to be this Gandhi woman who's just grateful for the universe, but just really like reminds me of where I'm at and what I have accomplished and where, what I have done. I think it's so easy to be like on to the next goal and forget where the fuck you are. Like, yeah, I've done this incredible thing with babies. Like, that's insane to me. So I think just practicing gratitude, sitting with myself every morning and beyond just hot coffee, like really, what am I grateful for? I mean, this week I've been grateful for a steady hand from a surgeon that, you know, built a scar into my smile line. Like the fact that he would even think about that, you know, just thankful that we have the opportunities. And yeah, so gratitude is huge for me. I think it puts me in a mindset of no one's promised anything. No one's just gifted stuff. I mean, I don't have rich parents that just handed me everything. I paved my own way. But yeah, gratitude, just being intentional about reminding myself of where I'm headed and where I've come.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then just therapy, like just letting somebody else help navigate me through the stuff that maybe I don't even see.
I love that you brought in the therapy and that you're open to talking about it. You know, so many people have a belief that like something has to be wrong or there's a stigma, like you have to be like broken or fucked up and you live a great life. Like you have a great life. And I know you personally enough to know that. And I know that you're committed to growing it. And for you to say, I also am going to do this like internal work is really cool and vulnerable. And it's a great example. It's another one of those areas where I'm like, when I started, I'm like, man, she's super authentic. A lot of people wouldn't talk about it. Or a lot of people would go to therapy because they're like, something's wrong. And you're like, no, everything's great, but it's like, I can just have access to more.
Yeah. I heard that on my social media was that I'm not starting therapy because I'm at rock bottom or because I've hit this low point. You don't have to be at a low point. You can actually be at your highest point and realize you want more. And I think that's where I have been sharing. I have a lot of women followers. Obviously, you know, women relate to my story as a mom. And I think that women need to be okay with like, it doesn't have to be falling apart. You don't have to be having these days where you're, you know, you don't have to have suicidal thoughts or be on medication to get some help. You know, we're here placed on this universe, in this world, to need other people. And I think that we so have become so like, I have to be okay. I have to take care of my kids. I have to go to work and be okay for my coworkers that, dude, you can love your job. You can love your kids. And still want to work on you and still want to feel some sort of fulfillment or more fulfillment in your day to day. I wasn't broken. I was turning 30. I got engaged. Like the week I set up therapy was one of the best weeks of my life. I mean, I started a new decade. We started a new decade. Like I turned 30, 2020 fiance. I have three little girls who are thriving and I was like, why not? Right? What's it going to hurt? I don't think that getting help means that you're broken or completely lost or lost cause or at your wit's end of, you know.
Yeah. I love the, like, I'm going to throw this in because I think some people think this, like, what's it going to cost is like, we're like opening up old wounds. We're looking at a place. Yeah. And I think that I want to answer my own statement. And if you want to throw some in, please, this idea that like, oh, I don't want to look back at that thing. I don't want to, that thing is existing inside of us. Like it's slowing us down. It's the conversation in our head. We can pretend that it didn't happen. We can pretend that like the past doesn't exist, but that like You hear it all the time. Like, we hold trauma in our body. And trauma, as humans, it can be anything. Like, it doesn't have to be like a rape or a molestation or getting beat up. It can just, it could literally be any event in our life. And I love the idea that, like, it's not about opening something up. It's like, it's almost like, I guess this is a good way. So sometimes it's really nice to, like, open up all the cabinets in your refrigerator and, like, clean everything out, like, right? Or clean out your fridge. It doesn't mean that there's, like, mold in there or something bad. It's just, like, making it even more enjoyable of a space to be in.
Yeah. Clearing the clutter. I mean, it's not bad clutter. There's nothing wrong with the items. I think sometimes you just got to let things go, you know?
Yeah. I want to talk about like where you've come, because your journey is really cool. And I know that you, where you are now, and as you brought in, like, hey, your parents weren't rich, but, like, you've shared with me and, you know, a lot about your life over since we've known each other. But, like, can you give us a piece of, like, where you started and, like, the transformation?
Yeah, it's I'm going to write a book. I told Aaron that. I mean, it might be in 20 years because I'm just it's not a top goal. But I grew up super, like, in a nutshell, grew up super religious, strict background. My dad was a missionary kid, grew up in Africa. And so I grew up going back there for mission work. I was homeschooled. And I mean strict, like, you don't wear pants, you don't wear makeup, you don't have piercings. We don't cut our hair till we're 12. Like, very strict, very religious. I'm at church 3 times a week. If you have something you love, you give it away because that's the heart of God. Like, that was my upbringing. So when I turned 18, I was like, peace out. I was the, if you're watching a movie, it's like the pastor's daughter ran away and went crazy. Like, I did everything I possibly could to rebel. And obviously, come to find out, you know, rules are put in place to help us not harm ourselves. And I did a lot of self-harm. I was doing drugs. I was drinking daily, like at noon in my basement, chugging vodka to numb pain, to numb hurt. I was in an abusive relationship. And so, like, that's kind of a nutshell of, like, where I come. I was a stripper. Like, that was my identity. I just had this floundering, like, out straight out of teenage years into young adulthood, no idea about the world because I was so sheltered. I was like, I'm going to go do it all. My parents said no, so I'm just going to do it. They're stupid. That was my mindset, and just ended up really broken. Just putting myself in harm's way for no real good reason other than basically screw you guys. Like, that was my mindset, which was horrible. And it's kind of crazy because I never got hit in the face with, like, an aha moment of, oh, you should just change your life. I overdosed on cocaine and stopped doing it. It was kind of this, okay, the doctor said I shouldn't do that. I should just stop. I never went to rehab. I'm kind of the person that's like, okay, great. Like, I don't struggle with addiction. Like, I'm just doing it for fun. And so the second I overdosed and the doctor was like, hey, you shouldn't do that, I was like, okay. So I was just a very, like, definite person of, like, if I decide something, I'm very all in. So I was like, great, I won't do that. But it didn't mean I was healed. It didn't, like, mean that my mental capacity, like, I wasn't, like, in a healthy place. Just because I stopped stripping, just because I stopped, like, doing drugs, I was still really broken down. I was out of a bad relationship only because it was court ordered. I probably would have still been in that relationship had, like, the state not stepped in and been like, you two cannot be together. Like, this guy is going to jail. So, fast forward, I was a bartender. I was working retail, working my butt off to just try to pay bills. I've always been a go-getter, but always been the underachiever go-getter. Like, I'll go just enough to get a raise, just enough to get recognized a little bit, but I don't want to be the top because then what if I can't outperform myself? So I kind of, like, bartended, worked my way up to top bartender. I kind of worked in retail, got, like, this key holder management position, but I didn't want to run the store. So that was kind of always, I'm a great actor. I always was able to tell my parents what they wanted to hear. I was always able to tell, you know, my boyfriend in that bad relationship what he wanted to hear. So I got really good at pretending and being that person. I don't know how in depth you want, but then I got pregnant.
And then, so what was the thing that had you, there's opportunities that are occurring all the time for people. Like, I think there's obligation and opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. You have people think they have an obligation to go to work. Yeah. It could be an opportunity to go to work. Like, you get to decide if the things in your life are obligation or opportunity. So at some point though, opportunity showed up for you. And you jumped at it, right? Because other people don't. And you, in your business, you're offering people opportunities all the time. And a lot of people say no. What had you say like yes to jump into this thing that ultimately changed your life? Like in a financial way, in a really healthy way, actually.
Yeah. So we actually were talking about relationships before recording. And when I got out of this bad relationship, I was about 20. And was like, I'm never dating again. You know, you get out of a bad relationship, like, relationships suck. I'm never dating again. But I was working at a bar, a new bartender started working there. I literally looked at my friend who was a server and I was like, that guy's a POS, like, remind me not to have anything to do with him. He looks like bad news. We started hanging out. We weren't dating per se. We hung out for like 2 years. Like, we were basically together with no title for 2 years and decided that I was like, oh, I don't want to get married. I don't want, let's just call it quits. I'm moving to Florida. So I bought a plane ticket. A week later, found out I was pregnant. And that was my wake up call. I could have very easily just been like, this isn't meant to be, like, this baby isn't, this can't happen. But for some reason, I had been wanting a reason to change, but for like the alcohol, the party scene, it just had such a strong grasp on me. Mm-hmm. But presented with being pregnant was a reason to just stop. I was like, I could get rid of this thing, but I've been asking for something to just kind of pull me out. And it wasn't even about, oh my gosh, I can't be a mom. It was like, this is going to help me. This is the therapy that I need. I'm going to be pregnant for 9 months and I can really just get my shit together. I had no idea what that was looked like. And I was terrified, but I'd done hard things before. And so I had her and I think I just beat the odds by going, people have babies, people change. I can be that person that changes. So I busted my butt at work. I got a house that I couldn't afford, but I knew that I needed a place. I found coaching kind of at random. I think it was on Facebook one day. And I was like, okay, well, that mom was broken and she's all fucked, like, and did it. Why, I'm no different. And I just decided to plug in to my life. I don't think there's anything that hit me in the face other than my determination to make my life different. I just knew that average everyday people were living extraordinary lives because they were plugging in and doing things differently.
Yeah. And I love, you know, you're in a business, when you said coaching, like, it's a different, what you and I do are very different as coaches.
Yeah.
And really what you, the kind of business that you're in, what I love about some network marketing businesses or multi-level marketing businesses is people that succeed really get mentored, they get mentored, they get coached, they get like inspiration. And then they pay it forward and pass it down. And it's a very like pulling each other uphill kind of mentality, which is really cool. I wouldn't have ever found like the type of, you know, performance coaching, ontological coaching that I do if it hadn't been for like putting my foot in the network marketing world and being like, okay, this isn't for me. But by saying yes to looking at it, it actually is what had me end up where I am now. So I have like a lot of respect and honor for it. And the way that when it's done, like in a really empowered way, like people just are helping each other succeed. I want to talk I want to shift a little bit here and talk about authenticity, because it's something that you and I have been talking a lot about outside of this conversation. It's something I'm obviously super passionate about with my book. I think for me, it's like part of why I'm here, like as a human being, is to discover like who, I think we're all here to remember who we authentically are and strip off like all the layers of everything, right? You described how you went the opposite way of your family. I kind of went the opposite way in a lot of ways too. And a lot of people just stay and follow the path, and people do versions of both, but all of them are inauthentic. And something I very much admire about you is how you just are like open and show all of who you are.
Yeah.
And let the world see all of it. What is it? Is it a thing that you've had to like, actually, I want to say this different. Most people, most of the time, are showing up trying to be or pretend to be who they think other people or the world wants them to be. Yeah. What gives you the courage to show up and be like, this is who the fuck I am, like, and I'm just going to show you all of me all the time? And like, what enables that?
So I'm an adrenaline junkie. And I think it plays, I was talking to my therapist about this, and I told her, I was like, you know, I put my whole life on social media. Like, I would record my therapy sessions if that was like a legal thing to do in her office. Like,
it probably is. It's your therapy.
She's like, well,
it's your therapy. I mean,
yeah, I think that I just hit this point in my life where I was talking to Aaron last night, and it just, I was like, I've had realization. Have you ever had realizations, but then like had them again? Like it's a new realization, even though you know you've talked about it or had it. It's like,
yeah, of course.
You're experiencing it in from a different place. Mm-hmm. So it's like this new thing. And I just was like, I love that my everyday, like stupid, whatever is actually changing people's lives. Like I get a high off of that. My therapist, when I was, younger, I think I was like 16, was like, oh, you have a problem with adrenaline. Right? Like I was getting piercings, like random piercings. And she's like, well, when you can't find drugs, you're replacing that adrenaline, that heart rush with piercings. Like you get that anxiety, that high, your heart races. So what I'm discovering in therapy now, I've only had a couple sessions, is that it's not bad to be an adrenaline junkie. It's not bad to have this adrenaline. And I found a way to fulfill that part of me, that desire to like, I mean, I am a mom. I'm not going to go jump off cliffs every day, and I can't just leave them up for a weekend and, you know, go do all these crazy things. But I've found a way to love what I do through adrenaline. And I think part of that is sharing like everything and see how people respond to it. I think that not everybody's going to love me, whether I'm this censored version or whether I'm this uncensored version. So why not just have a fucking blast with it and be like, the people that get it and are like, oh my God, you know? So it's adrenaline. It's so much fun for me. And I wouldn't say fun. It's this weird balance of like adrenaline of, I just had surgery. I'm showing my face on camera to 20 some plus thousand people. That I have like this crazy bandage on my face. For those that don't know, I just had a cyst like cut out of my face, and the anxiety around it, I felt like I was going to vomit, but just sharing about it gave me this adrenaline of somebody else needs to see this, that it's normal, that it's okay to be going through shit, to heal, to get better, to live their life more extraordinarily.
I feel like as I'm listening to you, so I totally was inspired by you this morning and by two friends of mine. Right before Thanksgiving, I just had this like thought, like, I'm going to be a vegan for a year as an experiment. And I don't know why. I'm literally not here to have a debate or a conversation on the health benefits, the good, the bad. I don't care. If you want to do that, go do your own experiment. For me, it's like, I've done one thing for lots of years, which was eat in certain ways. And now I want to try something different and see how it feels, how it impacts me, see if I feel better, because the way I was eating didn't always leave me feeling the way I want to feel. And if you're going to, you know, whatever. So in that though, I, as a joke, started like, I recorded this random video on the first and I was like, I'm a fucking vegan now. Cause I almost like with disdain for this choice. And my friend was like, this is hilarious. You need to like make a video every day and play with it. And at first I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have to like make it all like per. And then I was just like, no, this should just be like me being like silly and real and just like super short. And I've done it. And yesterday I'm on the phone with some friends, some other coaches that were supporting each other on something. And they're like, thank you for being like so authentic and like showing up and just like being you. And I was like, wow, those like videos are actually like, it's giving other people more permission to be themselves, which is what I hear in a lot of what you're sharing. This morning I woke up and the alarm went off. It was 5 a.m. and I rolled over and I turned on the light and I took my phone and I just like sat there for a minute. I was like, I don't want to get up. Like I did not want to wake up today. And this is usually I don't debate. I just get up. And I thought of that conversation. I thought of you and I actually flipped my phone on and I made an Instagram story of me lying there in bed. And I like just recorded the debate I was having with myself. My eyes in the first shot are like basically closed. I'm like rubbing my face. And what I love is that there's nothing special about this post that I made, but it was actually just real and authentic. And I think that a lot of people, you know, in that moment, like they struggle to get up in the morning or they struggle to do whatever they wanted thing they want to do. Like I wanted to get up, but my brain was not letting me. And I think that's the cool thing is that when your ability to be authentic and open, and because of social media, you give someone else permission. And then I give someone else permission. And what I heard in your whole share that's so powerful is you turned your weakness into your strength.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be an addiction thing or an adrenaline thing, okay, you didn't make it wrong. You just were like, basically, how can I use this to my advantage? Yeah. Which is so cool.
Yeah, I think people like to point out where their weaknesses are and be like, I need to improve this. I need to improve this. This is my weakness. Instead of going, well, I have fucking strengths. Other people, like my weaknesses are other people's strengths. So let them do that. And I'm just going to run with my strengths and not worry about, not that I'm not going to keep working on myself, but my weaknesses are going to be weaknesses. And I don't necessarily have to love them or make them strengths. And I think that's a huge thing that people like, I don't like getting up early. I see you get up at 5 a.m. and I'm like, well, I worked really damn hard to sleep in. But now my kids go to school and I'm like, man, I would just get so much done if I just got up before my kids and did my workout and was showered and, you know, sent them off to school and could actually go about my day. But I think that we tell ourselves like, oh, I'm not good at that. And we watch other people that are, quote, good at it. But the difference is I'm not like better at it than anybody. I just want to work on things more than somebody else. Like I want my network marketing business to grow, so I work on it. I'm not better at network marketing than anybody else, right? I'm not better than Sharon down the street who's going to sell makeup. I just want it. And so I'm choosing to go through the suck to get there and get what I want. So same thing with getting up or you becoming a vegan. It's not because you want to create this cause around it. It's not because, you know, of anything crazy. It's because you want to test yourself and push your limits and be like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to practice discipline because that's a part of me that I want to explore. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to eat cheeseburgers this year.
I love that you get it from that place. Like from the, if you do anything that's uncomfortable for a year, you're going to learn some shit about yourself. Like you're going to change. And that's for me, part of this is actually like food has always been a safety net, a comfort zone. When I'm sad, when I'm hurt, like the thing that'll make me feel better is food. And I'm going to have to be with it in a new way because
you have to find veggie chips instead of cheeseburgers.
I had a day in this first week of the year where I was really sad and my brain went to, you should go get like a burrito and nachos. I had to pause and go, whoa, like, that's not going to make that sadness go away. That's a fake cover up for it. And yeah. I can just be with the sadness and the pain and feel it and be human. And then yeah. I can go eat whatever I need to eat to be my commitment, but it's gonna draw something out. I love that you said it. I also, you added something to what I said, which is really cool. I said before, you turn your weaknesses into strengths. And then what I heard you actually say is, you didn't say, I'm gonna change your words, but it wasn't about you turning your weakness into a strength. You just almost like shift the perspective. It's not yeah. even a weakness. The thing yeah. is a strength, but depending on the angle that you look at it through, right? Your relationship to adrenaline, mm-hmm. somebody else could go, oh, that's a weakness.
Yeah.
But from a new, different perspective, it's like, no, this is a strength. And I'm going to now use this strength and like focus it like a laser on the thing I want it to empower.
Yeah. I think especially growing a business, I've realized I don't have to be good at all the things. Like the things that I'm not great at, while I'm working on and learning, I also have learned to enroll other people that are good at it. So I don't have to spend hours learning digital courses on how to grow a blog. I found someone that's really good at it and loves it, and they do it for me. So I think that your weakness, like, oh, you say weakness, like I'm weak. No, I think that people are on this planet to help one another. So if my strength is being vulnerable and showing up and being the face of this business that can really empower other women to live their life and do the things and see that, you know, you have to live through some suck. I'm not over here like loving every moment of getting up and working out or, you know, going to therapy. It's not fun, but that, you know, to do the things that suck and to do the things that are vulnerable and to do the things because we're committing are what create that space for something bigger, for something better, to feel really amazing in your strengths, in your, you know, you want to call them weaknesses, but they're just a part of you that aren't as big as your strengths. They're not anything to be less proud of.
Can we touch on a little bit? We're getting closer to the end.
Yeah.
And I want to touch on something that you and I have been talking about, and I'm hoping that you're okay exploring this here with me.
Yeah.
But like all the, you are somebody who's juggling a lot of balls at one time, right? Like there's a relationship, there's a business, you're saying yes to a lot of things. There's three kids that are young. You're like so committed to being part of their life.
Yeah.
What are you finding is like the biggest challenge in like having so many balls in the air, but also like you're also somebody who wants to say yes to more things also?
Yeah. I think we all have 24 hours, and I think that we all make small mundane decisions that keep us busy and stuck. And so what I've learned is that we just have to start being really aware of not only where we spend our time, but these mundane actions, are they getting us to where we want to be? And I've just become really clear. I mean, it's not happened overnight, but just really clear of taking a step back and going, is this where I want to be? Is this what I want to be doing? Not just, you know, minute to minute, hour to hour, but day to day and month to month and year to year. It's like, how do I know? And I mean, you mentioned my relationship has not been easy. You know, people from the outside looking in might hear this and go, oh, 10 years together, right? Engaged. We've been at a point in our relationship where we were writing out a plan of how we were going to share custody of our daughter and call it quits. You know, I think it's really easy for somebody to, again, look in and say, oh, it's nice for you. I'm so glad you found your soulmate. But it hasn't been that. It's been looking at it and going, I want to choose this. It's hard. It sucks a lot of the time, but it's something that I see as going to impact my life in a great way. I tried to look and weigh the pros and cons of this relationship and go, what does it look like without him? What does the other choice look like? And what is, okay, we get through the suck and we're together. And it outweighed. I was like, I want to do the suck with you. I want to do the hard shit with you. And so that's kind of how I've been basing my choices up. Not of, oh, that's hard, I'm not going to do it. Or, oh, that's going to be the harder path. I'm going to pull back and maybe go this way. But really leaning into the heart and going, nobody promised that the happy and the good and the thriving came without suffering and struggle and a little bit of suck, you know? And so I've been listening to a podcast. Gosh, I'm trying to remember his name. But he basically did an episode on embracing the suck. And I'm like, that's how I got to this place. I embraced the suck part of it. And went, that's part of the joy and the happiness and love. And I'm not saying stay in a horrible relationship if you're being abused and you need to walk away. I'm saying you've got to look at it, you know, come above the lens and go, okay, is this business hard? Is it doable? Is it something I want? Okay, then I'm going to do the hard and the suck parts to get to the things that I want. Same with relationships, same with parenting. I chose to have 3 children. I've since now found out how we keep having them. We've kind of discovered, like, okay.
Yeah, you guys you guys are just learning about how children are made?
We're like, okay, we've got 3. Maybe we should, you know, figure this out now, why they just keep popping up into our lives. But I have 3 little girls that I created that we made the choice. You know, after 1, we're like, this is really fucking hard. Like, raising a child, every day you're going, please don't die. I have to feed them dinner for 18 years, every single night. That's hard.
And
then we chose to do it again and again.
How old were you when you guys had your first?
I was 22.
Yeah, you were still
a
kid.
No, I wasn't like a teen mom, but I was definitely navigating life in party mode. Like, all my income was going to me. It was me, myself, and I was out of a bad relationship. Like, party it up. Let's go out every weekend. Let's go out every night. Let's work and live it up. That was my life. And so looking at it now, though, I go, we chose to have more children because they are a joy. They're a blessing. But they're also really fucking hard some days, right? So we've embraced that suck as part of what we're thriving on, not as like a bad thing. So you ask what's hard, you know, what do you navigate? It's, we all get to pick those suck moments that actually add up to the best thriving like possible. It doesn't mean that I want to get out of bed every morning, or that I want to work out every day. It's just, I choose that. I know that those hards and those sucky moments are allowing for this life to expand and grow into something that we really truly love and have created together. So,
yeah. And I hear you, like, you can focus on that it sucks, or you can focus on that these kids are like the most amazing thing in your life.
Yeah. It rolls back to gratitude.
You know,
I could say my child's driving me crazy, but I also think that my child fulfills me. So, you know, again, it's perspective.
So, I've had a few, but I don't often have an opportunity to have people that have actually worked with me on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I don't dive into like exactly like what I do all the time and all the details, but I would love if you took, like, I'm curious, like, what, when you think back to like our work together, what was like the biggest takeaway you had from, you know, having me as a coach, like doing the coaching work?
So when we coached, I was maybe 1.5 years, 2 years into my business. I'm trying to remember the year that we'd worked together.
It was at least, because I was in New York at the time. It was at least three years ago to 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like 1 or 2 into my business. I felt like I had a good grasp on it. And a friend had brought it up and said, you know, you should work with him. I think it's going to be great. And honestly didn't know much about life coaching or what that meant. I was like, sure. I think we got on a call and I was like, probably like a lot of your initial calls. I was like, well, how much is this going to cost? Like, but getting into it, we worked together for, we did a group session and did it last 6 weeks?
I think it was like 6 month program. Yeah.
And we met every week. And I think what I learned every week through that process, we talked a little bit about commitment. It's just committing to the process and showing up for yourself and being willing that going into it, you might not know the outcome, right? You don't know what's going to happen. And I grew a lot in my self-awareness of what do I actually want? I think that was a huge question that I had a hard time answering during our work together. You know, like I thought I knew what I was doing and accomplishing, but it really started me on this path of, okay, but why are you doing it? Like, what's driving you? Like, money is great, but what's more money if you don't know what you're doing with it or why you're making it or what's behind it? And, you know, these thriving relationships, why am I working hard in my relationship? What is behind it? And I think it's really helped me grow. I was, 25 at the time, and now I'm 30. And it just was kind of the catalyst of, if I want all this stuff to be thriving, a business, if I want to mentor other women to love the life that they're in, and if I want this incredible, not just great relationship, but incredible relationship that inspires other humans to be in incredible relationships, if I want that, then it's going to take a lot of hard work. And I think you pushed me and questioned a lot of maybe the more surface level stuff that I was focusing on to go deeper, to ask, like, am I hiding from what I really want? Because it's scarier.
Thanks so much for like sharing. You did not know I was going to ask you that. And I didn't know I was going to ask you that. Like halfway through, I was like, I'm curious what she would say. It's like, there's been so much time. What would you say? I want to like leave people with a takeaway here. You've given so much like gold and truth and whatnot. What would be like, do you have like a key to success that you're like, this has been the thing? You know, if I could give everyone this, I would give them this.
Oh, I think so many people wait and say, I'm going to do that thing, or I want to do that one thing. I want to coach. I want to grow a business. I want to quit my job. I hate my job. I want to have kids, whatever it is that's tugging at your heart. And I think for so long, I lived in fear because of the what ifs. And I think I would say, you're never going to be ready. You have to jump in not knowing the outcome of most of the things that are going to create that success for you, whether it's a business, a relationship, leaving a relationship, having kids, not having kids. I think that you just have to know that you're never going to be ready for the next step because it has never been done. It's uncomfortable for you. So I've just learned that in my life. I'm like, if I want something different, if I'm ready for the next thing, if something excites me and terrifies me, then I'm going to do it. And that doesn't mean it's a positive outcome all the time, but I think you'll be more proud of yourself for just having the balls to go for it than sitting on it and wondering what if for the rest of your life.
I love that. Like, we're never ready. You just,
yeah.
You're
never ready. You've never done it.
Yeah. So people can find you. I know your Instagram is like where you spend tons of time, and it's Blushing Confidence. So Blushing Confidence, spelled exactly the way that those words are spelled. Your name is Bree Holland. So people can search you that way. Also, is there any other way? Like, do you have a website? Do you have any?
I have a blog, and it's blushingconfidence.com.
Okay.
So it's the same. Yep.
Awesome. And you're super active. So you respond to people,
I think a lot of people see big accounts and go, I'm never going to get a response. But anytime somebody DMs me, unless Instagram box me and disappear, you know, messages disappear. I respond to everything, every comment from my stories. I'm very active in my stories and sharing like the suck part of it and the joy part of it. So I think people can see both sides of it in just the everyday, what it looks like building an empire for yourself, whatever that means.
Yeah. You get a real like sense of who you are, what your life is, because you do show like the ups, the downs, the middles, And some of it feels like very businesslike, and some of it is very personal, but it really encompasses like who you are. Bree, I want to thank you. I know getting you on here was like not the easiest thing. Like we talked about, you're doing a lot, you're up to a lot. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being so authentic as always. Thanks for being like having the courage to be vulnerable and open. And really, you know, you're a great example of I use the reference a lot in my business about like being a lighthouse. Like a lighthouse just shines their light. You do it through authenticity and being real. And women and humans are driven to you because they want to be more real. So thanks for having the courage to like shine that light and be that person for so many people.
Yeah. Thanks. I mean, thanks for having me on. I apologize for taking so long to be on.
You don't have to apologize.
I know the inside joke is like, have your assistant send me an email. But if you're wondering, Alex is very authentic and responds to all of his messages as well.
Yeah. I remember when we met up in San Diego, you were like, I didn't think that was you messaging me. I thought you had like an assistant that was just sending me emails.
Coaching or something.
People that are hearing this, when you get an email from me, if you get a card in the mail from me, if you get a message on, it's me. It's me. I do not farm that out. There might be other things I farm out, but not human interaction and human contact.
I think
contact.
You can tell. I mean, I read your book after we met in San Diego, and I mean, it was just an extension of our coaching together and seeing, you know, you're all about authenticity and really digging into a person, having a person really dig in and say, you know, where are you at? Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? So
thanks
for writing the book.
Yeah. Thanks for help, like telling your peeps about the book and giving out free copies. Guys, go follow Bree. Bree, thanks again so much. And I know we're going to work on some really cool stuff together in the future. So people can look forward to that. Thanks for being here, guys. And go crush it in 2020.
Woo.
Thanks for listening. Honestly, I'm just a rebel who found a cause and has a dream. And I'm super grateful for your support. If you got anything from this, please help me out and share this podcast with one person today. You can find me at thedreammason.com or at inspirationalalex on Instagram. You are a dream mason because your dreams don't build themselves.